to welcome all Arizona homeowners to the great in the great state of Arizona to Rosie on the House, your Arizona Saturday morning tradition for 27 years. It's 8 o'clock, so we're in the outdoor living hour. We have Jay Harper of Harper's Nursery in studio with us, along with Julie Murphy joining us from the Arizona Farm Bureau. We have Rosie over here. We've got Jennifer back there. And we've got room for your call at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-Rosie for you. You can also text your questions to 411-923. I don't know where we're going to go in the garden today, because it seems like
garden's pretty big this time of year.
And it seems like we've said that the last two or three weeks with this beautiful weather. What possibly new could we cover today? Or is it just a repeat for someone that may have missed it?
Well, it just, you know, it's just more and more of it. And we, you know, we've kind of tiptoed around. Maybe it's still going to get cool. Maybe, you know, I mean, we've got a storm coming in. It's going to cool all the way down to 72.
Get the coat back out. I just put it in the closet last week.
So I think at least for the Salt River Valley, we can probably put frost or any threat of any damaging cold out of the picture. You know, it'd be really, really, really scarce chance if it were to happen now.
Since he said that, we can all but guarantee it.
Yeah, we're gonna get one now.
Well, I'm hoping. That's why I'm saying it.
Yeah, that's it.
Nothing more profitable to a nurseryman right now than to have a hard freeze about mid-March. But, you know, things are just. I mean, the new growth is popping. Citrus is blooming. Bougainvilleas are blooming. I did see my first instance of powdery mildew. However, I know we're going to talk about roses here in a little bit. The lady brought in a rosebush leaf that had some powdery mildew on it. So along with the good, we will start to see, you know, and the weeds have been pretty active. I mean, we can't hardly keep pre-emergent and herbicides on the shelf right now. Aphids are going to, if they're not already out and bad, you know, when we have lots of new emerging growth and buds, you know, the aphids are out there advantageously sucking on those. I've actually seen spider mites on things already, which is a little early for those. So along with all the beautiful, great foliage and time to plant, and it's a great time to get things in the garden, you know, you got to remember the critters and the diseases are opportunistic as well. They love the spring weather as well. So, you know, a little shameless plug, but if you want to bring samples, bring questions. You have an opportunity today. It's the first Saturday of the month, so hot dogs and horticulture, and we'll have my dad and my two brothers. So about 200 years of gardening experience. So it's Trump, come try and stump us.
Oh.
Not Trump us, stump us. Today at 10 o'clock, and then we'll feed you a hot dog after that.
Very good. And that's at?
Our Harper's Nursery and Gardens, Landscape and Garden Center on Hayden Road, just south of Thomas.
Hot dogs and horticulture.
Right on.
We have Julie Murphy in with us as well. And usually we're talking something that you would relate more to farming and agriculture, or corns and cottons. And you brought in flowers today.
Yes, I say Arizona agriculture has a lot of flower power. It's a pretty exciting story, actually. So we have, in fact, one of our members, Michael Francis, who's a rose bush farmer, he estimates that between California and Arizona farmers, the cash receipts alone for our booming rose bush business is an estimated $50 million. And these are the bushes that are sold wholesale. So
these aren't the leaf cuts from the grocery store you pick up.
Right. So the big box retail store, you might get them at. Where would we get them, John Jay?
Well, you know, all nurseries sell rose bushes.
Yes.
You know, so these guys harvest them when they're dormant. So, and probably starting in November, they go in and dig them up and they put them in cold storage, and they get shipped then
all
over the country to people that you might have heard from before, like the old Jackson and Perkins. And those people actually contract with guys here, right here in the West Valley, out by Litchfield Park, to grow their roses. They send them, then they might package them for Lowe's or Home Depot, or they might send them to Berridge or Harper's or, you know, one of the local nurseries here in town. And then we pot all of our roses. And then even big nurseries like Monrovia and Armstrong, the big wholesale growers, Dream with Colors here in the Valley. You know, so you talk about that part of agriculture. We've got growing wholesale nurseries that buy rose bushes from our rose growers and then pot them up and sell them as a container nursery plant.
And because most of that business has migrated here to Arizona, you're going to have a high chance, besides going to your nursery, which they should go to first, you have a high percentage chance of getting a rose bush that was grown here in Arizona, which is pretty neat. I think we control about, when I say that, most of the farming over here, about 70% of those rose bushes are grown for the United States right here in Arizona.
Well, I didn't know it was that high. That's great.
Yes, it's very high.
It's shamefully embarrassing that the one rose plant I got, I go out to let you, I take pictures of 4,000 acres of roses that all look pretty darn good to me. I take it home and I show it to my plant and I say, why can't you do this?
Here's your ancestors.
Yes.
Yes.
Man, oh man. How can somebody with all that heavy equipment moving through those roses not just destroy them? And I mean, I sing to this plant. I talk to this plant. I water this plant. John?
I'd quit singing.
Maybe that's the problem.
Man,
that's the problem.
Man.
I didn't. Where's your rose bush? I can't even picture that.
Yeah,
well,
see,
because
that's
it's
how good.
Because it's suffering.
It's never bloomed. I just thought it was a pile of sticks every time I came over, I guess.
And the fun thing to highlight is, okay, so you move from that market. We also have a pretty decent retail direct market for flowers with one of our smaller growers, and from Green Creek Gardens. I have to say that slow because it's kind of a tongue twister, but up in Dewey. And she will sell directly to you and me a variety of flowers, cut flowers.
Through the internet? Or you have to drive up there? Or
she has an internet presence. She also has a Facebook page. And again, it's just Green Creek Gardens up in Dewey.
Oh.
And it kind of is a throwback to all the flower farmers that we used to go to
like
on Baseline.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting, and she's got about an acre of it. So we have, like I said, Arizona agriculture has amazing flower power here in the state.
Well, you've got lavender growers in Concho.
Yes, that's
you know, so
correct.
All the lavender growing up there, which is, I've never seen that when it's been in, that's got to be pretty amazing.
This may be a trick question or seem like it, but how many different colors of roses are there now? And each one's supposed to have its own meaning for this gift you give a white rose,
yeah.
This event you give a yellow. I'm sure that was designed and generated by the rose growers community, maybe, but
or FTD, the florists. But of course there's color combinations, so you have roses that are multicolored on the same rose. So they're hybridizing roses is a big business.
Yeah. I still think, Julie, we need to coordinate with one of those rose growers out in Litchfield that grow next to Luke Air Force Base, and they plant in rows. So when you drive by, it's like a rainbow.
Right.
They need to do a red white
ooh,
with a blue field and 50 white patches in the middle. So as the jets come in and they're landing back at Luke Air Force Base, there's a big American flag of roses growing in the field.
I'll talk to Michael about that. I bet he'll do that for us.
That'd be pretty cool.
Right.
Maybe. That's it. I like that creative thinking, and it's very patriotic.
It would be a sensation. I mean, it'd be something people would look through. It'd be on the news. Aerial photo.
Even without the rose flag, we attract a lot of attention, especially with some of our outside visitors when we give farm tours. One of the first questions is, hey, can we go out to the rose farms?
Mm.
So it has great significance. It's pretty impressive. And, you know, California lost a lot of that business because of overregulation in their state. So it's migrated here to Arizona. There's basically only four farmers that are doing all of that rose bush farming, basically.
Interesting. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation, or you can text in to 411-923, and we'll do the best to get your questions answered. I had an interesting email come in this week from Susan. They have a saguaro cactus that they want to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to know, is there somebody that'll buy that? Is there a company that'll come take them? And instead of just destroying it, what's a better use? Because they are extremely slow growing and very valuable.
More than likely, one of the cactus specialty nurseries, that because you have to have a truck that's equipped with the right type of equipment to hook up to those to even transport them. And they have to be handled properly, but generally, if it's easy to get to, I mean, if they can get their truck kind of backed up to it and get it out, they'll figure out a way to take it off her hands if it's in good enough shape that they can turn around and resell it. What you probably won't get is any if much money for it. If you need to get rid of it, they'll be happy to come get it, not charge you anything, because, you know, the flip side of that is if it needs to go and you have to end up having somebody come cut it up and haul it away, it's going to cost you hundreds of dollars, if not more. So it will save you money, but you're not going to, if you think you're going to make some money, that probably isn't going to happen.
Yeah, that you would have to sell it to some unsuspecting neighbor. And
yeah.
We don't.
Maybe you
do
can
that.
Broker a deal with the cactus guy or something. But anyway, it's certainly a job you do not want to try yourself. Those things weigh a lot.
We've got a text question that wants to know, what can I do to kill everything in my grass except the grass? They didn't overseed.
Uh-huh.
Got, as you've had mentioned earlier, y'all can't keep pre-emergent in stock, it seems like, or weed killer. What can they do now to clear out their weed-infested lawn to get ready for summer?
Well, there are a myriad of different broadleaf-type weed controls, sprays, herbicides, that can be sprayed on weeds that will not kill your grass. So the just to very simplify it, the herbicide can tell whether this is, you know, a grassy type plant or a broadleaf type plant. And when you spray it on it, it will only control or kill the thing that has broad leaves. Where we run into trouble is sometimes if you've got grassy type weeds in your grass lawn, then it gets a little trickier. And some of them will control some of those. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with pulling them. If you got kids that need something to do, pay them a penny a weed and have them go out there and pull them. But probably the most efficient way to do this is to get a baggie and take some samples, pull a few up, take them down to the nursery and say, I have a Bermuda lawn. This is what I have in my lawn. And what can I do to get rid of this? And go forward. Now, if you're not going to plant a winter lawn, I would strongly suggest that next fall you use a pre-emergent herbicide.